for Monday, February 11th, 2008. We have a couple of items of business here. The first committee you have before you, LC-113, which is the LC draft of the alternative incarceration program proposals that we were looking at the other day. And it's back to before us now for bill introduction. We're having been given approval by the Speaker's office to introduce this as a bill. So the Chair would invite a motion to introduce LC-113 as a House Judiciary Committee-sponsored bill.
Mr. Chair, I move LC-113 be introduced as a House Committee bill.
You heard the motion. Discussion. Representative Wisner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, did we get any confirmation whether we'll see this bill back or it's going to go through the rules only?
It would be actually my aim to try to get the bill back into this committee because we were quite moderate in our requests for legislation as compared to some other committees. And when I look at the list of bills and are being prepared, I think, to take action on the other bill that we introduced, I think that we have the time and capacity to do it. So I will try to campaign to get it back referred to this committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I can speak for the members of my caucus that we would support your request.
Very good. I appreciate that. Any further discussion? Is there any objection to the motion? If not, then LC-113 is introduced as a committee bill. I'll now open a work session on House Bill 3633. And we have before us the -2 amendments, which are in addition to the -1 amendments that were prepared for us on Friday. They were presented to us on Friday, and we also had a presentation on the -2 amendments as well. And I guess what I'd like to hear counsel from you or from Attorney General Myers would be, or anyone else in attendance who could do so, would be to explain any evolution that has occurred in the text or ideas that are in the -2 amendments from what we had presented to us on Friday.
Chairman of the committee, I'd prefer to ask Attorney General Myers.
Let's do that.
I think it represents what he discussed and Pete Shepard discussed Friday.
Mr. Myers.
Chair, the person, members for the record, Hardy Myers, Attorney General. Mr. Chair, we have not seen the -2 amendments as prepared by LC, so I'm not able to tell the committee right now to what extent our preview of those in the interlineated version on Friday has been modified at all by the LC drafting process. I'm sure they haven't been modified in substance, but no doubt there have been some editorial changes that we simply haven't seen yet, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Committee, these amendments just came out of the Legislative Council's office. I received them about 15, 20 minutes before the meeting.
Mr. Chair, my comments weren't meant to be critical of LC.
No, I understand.
We haven't gotten them under our nose.
We have a very truncated process here. I guess what I would actually invite your reaction to is whether, this was the day I would like to move the bill, and there are some scheduling issues that would complicate trying to wait until tomorrow, which is the last day under the House rules for moving the bill. So I would like to be in a position to move today, recognize the bill does have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means, so if there were issues identified in the text, then they could be taken up at that portal as opposed to this one here, and it would be my inclination to go ahead and move the bill without your having had a chance to review the amendments, recognizing that you would have that opportunity before it was taken up in Ways and Means, and there is the potential for them to adopt amendments there.
Mr. Chair, that would, of course, be fine if that's ultimately your wish as to how you want to proceed.
Any discussion here among the committee, a preference about how we would proceed? Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is not necessarily about the procedure, and I agree that we had a pretty thorough explanation of the -2 amendments on Friday. I just wonder, I haven't had a chance to look at this yet, if there was a resolution about the task force issue. Did that make it into this draft? Because we were talking about how that may impact the fiscal.
Well, let's take a look and see.
I thought maybe Council Taylor.
I can't tell you. I'm sorry.
You're about the same position we are in, which is having them.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Flores.
Thank you. And understand the, as you say, truncated time frame here, but you've just handed us a 124-page -2 amendments to a bill that the Attorney General's office and the Deputy Attorney General, who have done such great work on as far as the other two provisions, have been able to at least compare their work. I'm just a little discomforted about moving something without having the opportunity to have that review done.
Well, that would be a possibility too. It'd be to go into recess.
I was just going to propose that, Mr. Chair.
And would half hour do it, or do you need more of the time than that?
No, Mr. Chair, I believe that should be sufficient for us to check through them.
Well, then let's recess this committee meeting for a half hour. We'll reconvene at that clock was just rounded off to a quarter to 11 to come back in, and if everything looks like it lines up fine, then we'd be ready to act then. Very good. We're in recess. February 11, 2008, back to order from recess. We were in a work session on House Bill 3633 and then ran to recess so that the latest Dash 2 amendments could be reviewed. And we now have Attorney General Myers and Deputy Pete Shepard here before us to describe what they found. Gentlemen.
Thank you, Chair McPherson, members. Hardy Myers, Supreme General, for the record, joined by Deputy Pete Shepard. We have jointly completed a walkthrough of the Dash 2 amendments. And as I was mentioning a moment ago, if those members who have the hand interlineated document from Friday's hearing that showed what we were predicting would be the Dash 2 amendments, if you have that at hand as well, I think it will make it easier to follow this quick review we're going to give you. The deputy will review those changes for you up to the point when we get to the section that deals with this task force, and I'll then make some comments about that, and then we'll continue from that point to the end. So.
Okay. Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Pete Shepard. I'm the Deputy Attorney General, and as the Attorney General said, this would probably be easiest to most efficient to work through these if you have that. The document, the hand engrossed version, that would be the one that kind of in messy handwriting at the very top says hand engrossed with 3633-1 and anticipated 3633-2 consensus amendments. That's the one that's easiest to compare. And on the page 9 of the Dash 2 amendments corresponds to the second physical page of the hand engrossed version, which is labeled at the bottom with a numeral 6. And the changes in the Dash 2 amendments and the changes anticipated in the hand engrossed are the same. On page 10 of the Dash 2 amendments, the corresponding changes are on page 7 of the hand engrossed version. And on page 10 of the Dash 2 amendments, the change occurs at line 4, and the changes anticipated in the hand engrossed version are again the same. That it would be the deletion of the word remedial, which does not appear in the Dash 2, does not appear in the Dash 2 amendments, and therefore is consistent with the hand engrossed amendments. The next change in the Dash 2 amendments is on page 12 of the Dash 2 amendments. And there the change corresponds to changes made shown by handwritten delineation on the hand engrossed version at lines 39 and 40. And that was by the insertion in the hand engrossed version of language adding to the list of persons who receive a copy of the court's order. And as the Attorney General and I judge it, those changes correspond exactly in the Dash 2 amendments. Those would be in basically lines 18 to 21 on page 12 of the Dash 2 amendments.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead. Senator
Bonamici. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to clarify. There seems to be some language added under Section 7.4 of this Act. Is that consistent with what you had intended?
Mr. Chair, Representative Bonamici, we noticed that difference, and yes, it is. That clarifies that Section 7.4 of the Act is the section that establishes the mechanism for persons responding to an order to show cause. Legislative Council's suggestion, I presume, is intended to make clear that the kind of response anticipated is the kind that a person would file in response to an order to show cause.
Thank you.
The next one then is on, next changes are on page 14 of the Dash 2 amendments. And they correspond on to what's labeled as page 9, although I think physically it's the third or fourth page of your hand engrossed handout. And there are several changes here on this page. In the hand engrossed version at line 31, We proposed inserting the language that appears in the dash two amendments at lines 3 through 5. And on our review, that is consistent with the Hand and Gross suggestions. The next change that is in the dash two amendments is at lines 6 to 7. And that change corresponds to what we anticipated in the dash two amendments. The next change is at the beginning of section 14, still on page 14 of the dash two amendments. And it's the substitution in the as anticipated in the handwritten engrossed version of the word initiated for the word instituted on page 19, on line 19 of page 14 of the dash two amendments. Again, consistent. On page 16 of the dash two amendments, corresponding to what's labeled as page 10 of the hand engrossed version, the insertion of new subsection F, which is line 6 and 7, is consistent with what we anticipated and set out in the hand engrossed amendments. There is a change also in the dash two amendments on lines 4 and 5 that we did not anticipate in the hand engrossed versions, but it is, in my view, an improvement on the language that we suggested in the hand engrossed version. It makes clear that the addition, the phrase that's been added in line 4 and 5, is if the defendant is not represented by appointed counsel. That simply makes it clear that the material be served here or noticed here. If a defendant is represented by counsel, it goes there, and if they are not, it goes to the defendant directly. Make clear of that, and that's an improvement on the hand and gross version. In lines at the end of page 10, the bottom of page 10 of the hand and gross material, you recall that we had suggested conceptual language and informed the committee that we would defer, the group was deferring consciously to legislative counsel to try and capture the spirit of that language in its draft. And that is those changes are now reflected in what are now a change to line 16 on page 16 of the dash two amendments, the addition of the phrase except as otherwise provided in this subsection, which seems necessary to add because we're drawing an exception to the usual rule of service that's described in what formerly was a standalone provision. And then in subsection B and C are, we think, do capture the spirit of the conceptual amendment that we suggested in the handwritten suggestion. And as to B and C, there are two differences that we don't think, at least at this reading and without the ability to contact anybody else other than legislative counsel and discuss it with them, which we did during the break, we think these are probably okay and consistent with what the work group worked on, but the work group did focus on this language, and the legislative council language does differ, but I don't think either of these ought to be showstoppers for the committee. Let me tell you what the differences are so you're clear about that. In line 24, in the hand engrossed version, we had service of the notice of appeal
here.
And we provided that as to the prosecuting attorney and the attorney general and other people who have regular business addresses and those and thus could very easily be found for accomplishing service, we provided that the notice had to be provided and physically received by the Supreme Court in our version. And legislative counsel has used the expression filed. However, the way that legislative counsel accomplished the same thing that we were aiming to accomplish with our language was by adding a new subsection D, which appears at the top of page 17 in the dash two amendments. And that subsection says that a notice is filed under this section, so it's just for this section, when it is physically received by the Supreme Court. And so we think that probably captures the same spirit as what we, as what the working group had designed. And the other distinction appears on line 29 of page 16 of the Dash 2 amendments. And the working group had suggested one judicial day after the notice is filed. When I talked with Mr. Nasby on the telephone during the break, Mr. Nasby told me that the reason he felt that the modifier judicial day was not required is that the bill earlier, there's an earlier section, as you may remember, that I referred to as the lawyer's mechanism for counting time, and that incorporates by reference statutes in Chapter 174 that are logically enough entitled Computation of Time. And as Mr. Nasby understands those statutes and understands the suggestion of the working group, I think it was his belief that judicial day didn't define a different day than Chapter 174 defines for purposes of counting time. And so, again, I based on Mr. Nasby's comments, I suspect that's going to be okay and workable under the form of the bill. So that takes us then to the next changes are on page 18 of the Dash 2 amendments. And these correspond to what was labeled as page 11 of the hand and gross material at line 32. And that's the addition of the expression, a motion for summary affirmance does not toll any event in this section. That's what the working group suggested. And we think the suggestion, legislative counsel's language is satisfactory with one modification. And I think it's our view that in line 18, the proper word is effect, E-F-F-E-C-T, rather than affect. Mm-hmm. Probably more likely introduced by the artifact of spell check than by any judgment on the part. The next change then is on page 19 of the draft of the Dash 2 amendments. And that corresponds with page 12 of the hand and gross material. And those changes appear in section 15, and then again in, I'm sorry. Oh, yes, section 14, sub 15, lines basically 7 through 13. And legislative council has incorporated the suggested amendments to that section and then has deleted what formerly had been little b and c on lines 10 and 11 of page 12 of the hand and gross. So again, this seems to be correspond with the intent of the working group. That then brings us to page 22 of the Dash 2 amendments, and this is a new subsection added by legislative council to account for the task force.
Chair McPherson and members, the recommended task force that's described here, as I think I indicated on Friday, is intended to provide a mechanism by which the legislature will receive a carefully prepared assessment, factually, of how this system is operating if it becomes law. And this task force would have the composition that's described in the in subsection 1, and then would be charged to provide two reports to the President and to the Speaker. One would be due January 1st, 2009, a report on the implementation of the measure and any recommendations for change. Report due January 1, 2009 and January 1st, 2011, so that the task force would have a full biennium's experience. It would have an initial six-month experience period to report and then a full biennium. Now, mindful of some of the questions or concerns that were raised on Friday, I think most important changes in this version of the task force recommendation to you compared with that was reviewed Friday are that on page 23, subsection 6, the members of the task force are explicitly disqualified from receiving any compensation or reimbursement for expenses. Secondly, in subsection 7, the Department of Justice is charged to provide the staff support to the task force. We will be filing an amended fiscal impact statement, but I believe it will indicate that the effect on the Department of Justice of staffing an effort like this would be the kind of effort that could be handled within existing resources. It would not require any request for new resources from the legislature. Thirdly, in subsection 8, all agencies of the state government are directed to assist the task force and within the bounds of confidentiality to furnish information and advice that the task force considers necessary. I believe that's a more or less standard kind of provision. And then finally, the subsection 19B repeals the existence of the task force July 1, 2011. So it does not become a permanent, ongoing feature of state government. It would be allowed to exist long enough to create these two reports for the legislature at the beginning of the next regular session and at the beginning of the 2011 session.
Yeah, I hear murmurs in the committee here, Attorney General Myers. I assume that's a typographical error.
Yes,
when it says Section 18A.
It should be 19A, yeah. Mr. Chair. We had nine. Just about to mention that is a change that needs to be made as well. So that, in sum, Chair McPherson, members, is the recommended mechanism for you to consider in order to give you an assured flow of information about the way in which this system is operating if it becomes law, coupled with any recommendations for change that experience creates in the discussions of the task force and in study of those operating results within the criminal justice process.
Very good.
Mr. Chair, the last section in which we need to discuss with the committee appears on page 122 of the -2 amendments. And the changes that are reflected on that page correspond with the changes reflected on what were physically labeled as, were labeled as 86, 87, and 88 of the hand-engrossed version. And the changes appears at lines 14 through 17 on page 122 of the -2 amendments. This is the Legislative Council translation of the concept that we discussed with the committee in which the time limitations for filing a claim would operate even as to claims that could be made in a case that's pending on the date that the bill goes into effect. And it does seem to me that they've captured this. And my thanks to Representative Bonamici, who, on my initial review of this, I thought perhaps that change had been omitted in the Legislative Council draft. And her sharp eye caught that one and brought it to my attention. And so there are corresponding changes to Section 89 and 90. And they look a little bit different because each of the, in comparison to the change that's made in Section 88, line 15, they cross-reference a different subsection that is different than Section 6.1, but that's because each of those is reflecting one of the triplicate iterations, and so it necessarily is different. So with that, I think those changes, I think that accounts for all the changes in the -2.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to back up for just a minute because there's one thing I just want to clarify. It's on page 14 of the -2 amendments, lines 6 and 7. The handwritten proposed change, which is on page 9 of the hand engrossed, talks about if the order was issued in any other criminal proceeding. I'm not sure that that makes sense in this context, but I just want to make sure, because what is included now in the dash twos is in any other stage of the criminal proceeding, which I think makes sense, but it's very different from what was in the Hand and Gross.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bonamici, you're quite right. The Hand and Gross version was incomplete and didn't make sense. I think in describing it orally to the committee, I may have completed it in a way that made sense in my oral description, but you're quite right. The written version is insensible, and the Legislative Council version is clear and what I'm sure the working group intended.
Thank you for the clarification. And a follow-up, Mr. Chair, okay. If I may? Thank you. This isn't a question. It's more of a comment. I notice that the task force language, I know it doesn't provide for any compensation, but it also doesn't provide for reimbursement of expenses. And if we're asking people to give up their time and to get to a meeting, I think it's one of those things where, you know, it's probably very minimal amount. I'm not suggesting changing it, but just for the record, if we're asking people to participate without compensation, to also say you don't get any expenses, I just want to make sure we're not creating too much of a deterrence from people for wanting to do this. So it seems like there's a lot bigger issues than what will probably be a minimal amount for that. Thank you.
I think Representative Evans, in response to maybe a very Scotch approach that I take to these matters, and I think that was at my request, and I would certainly be I could be overruled by a broad consensus within the committee that we ought to be allowing expenses, but given the discouraging revenue forecast we had, I'm even on small dollar amounts, I'd prefer to be holding the line here, and this effort has depended on a lot of volunteer effort that people have put out already in bringing these ideas forward and the stakeholders participating in a process, and I'm expecting that they will bring that same enthusiasm regardless.
I don't doubt that, Mr. Chair, and I'm not suggesting changing it. I just wanted to note that it seems that we don't want to discourage people from participating in these task forces in the future. Thank you.
Council Taylor.
Chairman of the committee, Mr. Myers and Mr. Shepard, am I taking it that you're only suggesting two changes to the dash two draft? And one is on page 18 where we change effect defect, and the other one is on page 23, line 24, where we change 18A to 19A?
Chairperson, Council Taylor, that's correct.
There you go.
Indeed, Mr. Chair.
Staff is greatly relieved.
we might say we wouldn't want the effect of Section 19A to affect any change in the meaning of the sentence.
Mr. Chair, I just add it's a marvelously efficient job by Legislative Council, Mr. Nasby, in translating numerous changes to the printed bill into this single set of amendments.
Okay. Any further questions on the presentation of the Dash 2 amendments? Then we are in work session on House Bill 3633, and we have not acted on the Dash 1s or the Dash 2s as yet. And I believe then I'll invite a separate motions on them, because I think we need to suspend the rules in order to conceptually amend the Dash 2 amendments. But I would invite a motion on the Dash 1 amendments that were presented last Friday.
Mr. Chair, I think Dash 2 supersede the Dash 1.
Oh, is that right?
They can't adopt both of them.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much. I stand corrected.
Mr. Chair, arguably, so we have the what we have and the changes here are typographical errors, grammatical errors. So arguably, they're not even amendments. I mean, one is changing a correct reference, and the other one is changing...
They are purely typographical,
but it may be correct.
Why don't we just to make sure we're fine? I would invite a motion to suspend the rules to allow us to conceptually amend the Dash 2 amendments to make the corrections on pages 18 and 23 that have been discussed.
So moved.
Motion has been made. I think maybe a hair moment, split seconds sooner by Representative Wisnant. To suspend the rules to make conceptually amend the Dash 2 amendments. Any objection? If not, so ordered. So we now have the Dash 2 amendments before us with those conceptual amendments to change affect to effect on page 18 and to replace 18A with 19A on page 23. Do I hear a motion on the dash two amendments to move them into the bill?
Mr. Chair, I move dash two amendments into House Bill 3633.
Representative Barker moves the dash two amendments as conceptually amended into House Bill 3633. Any objection? If not, the dash two amendments as conceptually amended are in the bill. I think what Representative Krieger wanted to vote on the bill, so let's stand at ease for a moment.
Well, we'll back and forth.
Conceptual amendments to correct typographical errors. Would invite a motion to move the bill, do pass, and to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3633 as amended with a due pass to Ways and Means.
Representative Barker moves House Bill 3633 as amended to dash two amendments with a due pass recommendation and to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Any discussion of the motion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Aye. Representative Cameron?
Aye.
Representative
Flores?
Aye.
Representative
Tom? Aye. Representative Krieger? Aye. Representative Gallagher? Aye. Representative Lucey? Aye. Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 3633 is out of our position under the Committee on Ways and Means. I'll close the work session on House Bill 3633. Committee, that concludes all the work that we have at this point until and unless we get the AIP bill back into our committee on the House side or Senate bills coming to us.
You've completed all of our work.
We are moving straight.
Chair, are you going to announce that on the floor today?
No. We hope to be getting more assignments. But that does conclude our agenda for today, Monday, the 11th of February. We are adjourned.